till he could figure out what was going on. Sometimes we need to come to the sanctuary so we can hear from God, so we can figure out what's going on. We know that the world is in a shamble and in a state of fear. But I heard the word of the Lord say, fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. So we got to clear our heads. We got to come out of here. And we have to walk in faith and believe God. He said, fear not, for I am with you. Hallelujah. I was a little trembling myself. But when I got on my knees, I heard the Lord say, fear not. All we need is a word from God. Hallelujah. Fear not, fear not, fear not. You may be seated. We certainly honor the Lord who's the head of my life, and we honor all of our elders and ministers, to all of our deacons, to our assistant pastors, Pastor Fly and Pastor Hodge, to all of our visitors. Amen. I want you to know I'm excited about God. I'm excited about what's going on. Amen. Because God is showing himself strong. We always say it. We always say it, but every now and then God needs to prove it. I don't care if you're able to bench press 350 pounds. You can say it, but every now and then you got to do it. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the world is shutting down, tightening up, and God is just showing himself strong. Saying, you know what? No matter what you do, don't nothing end until I end it. Is that right? Don't nothing end until I end it. So let him buy up all the toilet paper. Let him buy up all the hand sanitizer. Let them buy up all the wipes. I don't know what they're going to do with them. But I tell you one thing. I am in the pavilion of God. I am in his pavilion. I am hid. We are hid. You are hid. If you have faith in God, you believe in him, you are hid. If you have the faith to know that everything is going to work out all right. And since you know that everything is going to work out all right, we shouldn't be hesitant about giving God some praise, because we can praise him in the midst of what the enemy is trying to instill upon us. He's trying to give us fear, but we say that's all right and that's okay. We're going to win anyway, because God, yes, sits on the throne. Hallelujah. He's yet on the throne. I wonder if you could turn to somebody and give them a high five and tell them he's yet on the throne. He's yet on the throne. He's yet on the throne. No matter what it looks like, he's yet on the throne.
Yes, sir.
No matter what it sounds like,
yes, sir.
He's yet on the throne.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what he's doing? He's setting up one and shutting down another. He's opening up this door and closing that one. He's sitting on the throne. He's sending his word to heal. He's sending his word to deliver. He said, now that I got your attention. Now that I have your attention.
Oh, yeah.
Sin don't care who is in.
Yes, sir.
You can't get to heaven in no sin.
Come on, Bishop.
Sin, sin, sin. Don't care who it's in. Sin, sin, sin. No, it don't care who it's in. Sin, sin, sin. Don't care who it's in. You can't get to heaven in no sin. Maybe in my brother, but it don't care who it's in. Maybe in my brother, oh, but it don't care who it's in. Maybe in my brother, but it don't care who it's in. You can't get to heaven none and no sin. Oh, sin, sin, sin.
Oh, yeah.
Don't care who it's in. Sin, sin, sin. Oh, it don't care who it's in. Sin, sin, sin. Don't care who it's in. You can't get to heaven in no sin. Now that I have your attention, now that I have your attention, when you look in the microscope, you know, coming up in school, we had to take biology. Anybody ever had to take biology? And in biology, we learn how to look in the microscope at things, right? We could see germs and bacteria. We had to cut up frogs and all that kind of crazy stuff. But we learned. We learned how to look in that microscope, and we looked at germs. We looked at different types of viruses and how they're shaped. And when we look at this virus that's going around now, it's shaped like a crown. So if I would just kind of look at it, it would remind me that something is trying to take the place of God.
Yes, sir.
But God is in control. There is but one crown, and that's the crown of God. There is nothing but one Lord. One faith, one baptism. Oh, I didn't finish. One God. And his name is Jesus. Woo. All right. I'm telling you, God got this thing. Don't worry, don't fret. But you have to be vigilant and diligent. Wash your hands. Sanitize your hands. Don't go hugging people you don't know. Be careful of the ones you do know. Amen. We still, you know what? Ain't nobody going to go out and stand in Cleveland Avenue, Cleveland and Weber, and say, because the Lord is on my side, Sister Judy, I'm going to stand right in the middle of the street. The Lord can still be on your side and you'd be just as dead. Amen. But just realize he's in control. The thing that I'm trying to tell you is that God don't want us to live in fear. Fear is not of God. Is that right? Fear is not of God. Hallelujah. All right, I'm not going to be before you too long. I have you out before it's time for the pew rally. Get you out in time enough to eat and be back. I'd like to call your attention to the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. And we're going to read that last verse, verse 35. And then we're going to read the first verse in chapter number 33. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your word on today. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Father, we thank you for what's going on in the unseen realm. Hearts being touched, folk being delivered and healed in the name of Jesus. Situations being worked out. It's all going on because you are master. Now, Father, we pray, oh God, that you may speak to us today. Open up our ears that we can hear and our hearts to receive. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go on, I want to just say to our online guests, thank you so very much for tuning in each and every Sunday. And we invite you to our website to go and take a look to see what's going on here at Grace New Covenant Worship Center. I'd like to use for a subject face to face. Face to face. Moses and the children of Israel were on their way out unto the promised land of Canaan. They had left Egypt and arrived at Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. When Moses descended, he found that the people had erected a golden calf and had worshipped it, thinking Moses' long departure from them for 40 days meant he was dead. Now, he wasn't gone but 40 days. So they going to have a party and worship an idol god while he was gone, because they figured he was dead. Isn't it something when you feel that you don't have any leadership, you can just do whatever you want to do? When there's nobody in charge. God's wrath burned and he sent a plague. Many people died by the plague and by the sword of the Levites as punishment. God called the Levites. Moses asked a question, who's on the Lord's side? And the Levites came and said, we're on the Lord's side. And you know what? He commanded them to kill those folks because of their sin. And God told Moses that he would not lead them into the land, but would send an angel to lead them. So God told Moses, you're not going to do it. Now, we know that Moses had been dealing with these people for a long time. We talked about it for a little while a couple weeks ago, but Moses had been dealing with them for a long time, and Moses knew them. They constantly complained and murmured against God. They murmured. What do that mean, murmur? That means you're speaking low. You're talking about it, but you're speaking low. Don't want you to hear it. But God said, you're not going to be able to lead it because the people had made him angry. Had made Moses angry. Moses still loved him, but he knew there was a handful to deal with. There was probably some of us. My grandfather told me one time, he said, Greg, don't fool with Aunt Hagar's children. Now, I wasn't but about 11 or 12. I didn't know nothing about no Aunt Hagar. Say, don't fool with them. They'll cuss you out. They say all kind of bad things to you. They'll leave you out there hanging. And that's all he would say. I tried to get him to explain it, but he wouldn't explain it. But as I got older, I said he was talking about us's. But Moses did not want that. He rallied up all his ideas to change God's mind. The Bible says that in Exodus 33, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou art also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. Notice what he's having this conversation with the Lord. He said, and notice that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said that he did not even know the angel that God will send to lead them. He said, I don't know him. I never met him. I don't know what your plan is. I need to know you. Have you ever been going through and looked like the whole world has burst around you and you said, Lord, I need to know you. I need some comfort that only comes through you. Moses spoke to God face to face. This means intimately. Intimately. God is not physical, so it is not literal face to face. But it is intimately. He was intimate with God. You know, to be one with somebody is to know them. Is that right? To be joined with them. That comes with intimacy. He then said, you know me by name. God, I want you to show me the way to Canaan, and I want you to lead us. I don't know this angel you wish to send to us, but I want to know you. Moses made the same statement Paul made much later in the New Testament. I want to know you, or that I may know you. You know, during times like this, when everything is seemingly upside down, it is a time to get to know Jesus. You can know of him, but don't know him. I know of former President Obama, but I don't know him. I can call his name, but he don't know mine. And this is what Moses was saying. Moses was saying, you know me, but I don't know you. Now, therefore, I pray thee. See, now what is he doing? He's having a little talk. he's conversating with God. Face to face, intimately, he's speaking unto him. That's what we have. We got to speak to him. When was the last time you had a little talk with Jesus? Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry and answer by and by. When was the last time? When was the last time you took the time to have a talk with him? He said, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Philippians 3 and 10 say, that I may know him. During the Old Testament times, God appeared so judging and cold. When we look in the Old Testament, we see a God that wiped out anybody that got in his way. Is that right? We see a friendlier God in the New Testament. That's why people would rather preach on the New Testament and leave out the Old Testament, but it's the same God. And you know who stopped God in the New Testament from acting like he did in the Old? Himself. Yeah, he did it himself. He formed a new covenant to slow him down, gave us a way out. During the Old Testament times, God appeared to be judging and cold. That was because his true nature was not revealed. We see him as a loving father in the New Testament. There were no sons of God at that time. All was so covered. It was veiled. It was covered. Moses' face was covered. Paul indicated in 2 Corinthians 3 that it means that the people could not look to the fulfillment of what God was going to do or what he was doing at that time. Anything to do with God was covered or veiled. We didn't see it clearly in the Old Testament. It was constantly pointing to something that was going to come. When we look at the tabernacle there that Moses built, erected in the wilderness, it constantly pointed to something that was to come. His glory was behind the veil in the tabernacle. But Moses wanted to know God. See, he wasn't satisfied with just knowing that God was behind the veil. He wanted a relationship with him. It comes a time that just knowing about God is not good enough. It comes a time that I must know him. I must be able to get in touch with him for myself. Give me his number. I don't need you to call him up for me. I can call him up for myself. Give me his number. Moses wanted to see God's glory. He wanted to be so close with him that he would be able to survive in the glory of God. In Exodus 33 and 18, it says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He wanted to know God. He wanted to see God's glory. He wanted to get past the veil. I want to get on the other side of the veil. I want to see him in all of his splendor and all of his glory. Since I am a friend of God, I know him. God talks with me and I talk with him, but I don't really know him. He knows my name. He knows my heart, but I don't know his ways. God put Moses in the cliff of the rock and covered Moses with his hand. And as he passed by, only to remove it as the back parts of God's glory were then in view. What am I saying? God hid him and then covered him to protect him, because Moses thought that he wanted to know him. He thought he could stand his glory. He thought that he could be in the presence of his glory, but every indication of the Bible declares that we cannot stand in the glory of God. So God said, well, since you asked, I'm going to hide you and I'm going to let you see my back part as I pass by. Many think that the back parts of God speak about the history that occurred before Moses' time. They say that the information Moses wrote about Adam and Eve and so on was given to him when God showed Moses his back parts, but I disagree. I don't believe God was giving Moses a history lesson whatsoever. God showed Moses only an afterglow of his glory. It wasn't his full glory, it was an afterglow. It was like when you're turning off that kerosene lamp, how you still have a little glow left. Or when you're turning off a light that shines bright, when you hit the switch and it starts to go down, the glow still remains. That's all he saw. He saw the glow of God, but he didn't see the glory of God. Years later, Paul said that the glory of the New Testament was lesser than the glory of the New. The glory Moses saw was only an afterglow, but we now have the full glory of God because we have the Holy Ghost. And because we have the Holy Ghost, we're considered friends of God. We're not considered servants any longer, because the servants know not the will of the Father, but we are the will of his master, but we know what God is going to do. He's coming back. But even the afterglow was very, very powerful. When God showed Moses his glory, this what occurred. Found in Exodus 34 and 6. And the Lord passed by before and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities. And this is what Moses starts saying. When the Lord passed by him, he had to acknowledge who he was. Now listen, before then he wanted to know him. But after he had an experience with him, he said, the Lord passes before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, I'm getting to know him, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. The glory of God is his mercifulness. So that was his conclusion, that the glory of God is God's mercifulness. I thought he was hard and I thought he was cold before I got to know him, but I understand him now. Since I had an experience with him, I understand his mercifulness. It is his grace. It is his forgiveness. The reason God looked so cold to those days is because his glory was covered. It was veiled. All of the attributes of God's glory that Moses saw was covered, unknown to the 99.9%. Moses saw it. David saw it. Abraham saw it. There were some that God chose to know the inside of his workings. These were famous men that God anointed for a particular cause. David committed adultery and murder, but did not die the death penalty because he caught God's glory and forgiveness. And David had a son who built the temple, Solomon. Solomon was called God's son. That makes David a picture of God. He said that David was after his own heart. He said, you know what? When you're after somebody's heart, what they're saying is that you have attributes like them. When you're after somebody's heart, then you feel what they feel. Is that right? If my heart is joined to your heart, then I feel what you feel because our hearts are one. He said, David then, he recognized there was something different about God, that he wasn't all cold and hard, but he was one that got joy out of praises. So David was a praiser. And he praised God all the time. He didn't care what was going on. David got word that the Ark of the Covenant, which the Philistines had taken, was in Obed-Edom. He went and got it. He wanted God in his presence. When you have the heart of God, you want to be in the presence of God. I want to be where God is. I want to do what God would do. I want to handle the situation like Jesus would. That is why God called him a man after his own heart. God also ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He met with Abraham before doing so. And Abraham convinced God that if only a few righteous be found, God would spare the entire region. He did. He said, if I can just find a few, I'm one. All I need is nine. He talked with God. He couldn't find them. God ended up destroying the city, but there was an opportunity for God's mercy. But people didn't know that. They thought God was hard, but he was just. His word is true. His word is going to carry out the mission that it was sent to do. The only thing that will stop that word from being carried out is God's mercy and his grace. And true repentance. For the wages of sin is death. That's your pay for sin. It's death. But God being high and merciful and loving, he don't give us what we deserve. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that he don't give us what we deserve. If he gave us what we deserve, I'm mighty afraid. You talking about the churches being empty for real with no streaming service at all. The church would be empty. The streets would be empty. The houses would be empty. The businesses would be empty. It would just be a few. If we got what we deserve. But by the mercy of God. By his mercy. When Moses said that I may know thee, he wanted to see the glory. He wanted to see the true nature of God that was veiled or covered up. In Psalms 103, he says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Israel only saw God what God did. That's how they saw him. They saw him through what he did. But Moses understood why God did it. See, and that's where we are today. We can understand why God is doing it. You know what? It shouldn't be any surprise that a virus is going around. Should it? We should not be surprised in the least. As a matter of fact, we should have been saying, I expected God to do something. I didn't just know what he was going to do. We all said, what a terrible world this has become. And I can go into detail, but I won't because I told you I was going to keep it short. But when we see men holding hands and kissing one another, when we see women marrying each other, then we say, God got to do something. Because you remember that he spoke to Abraham concerning the same thing and destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that whole region around destroyed them for the same sin. Now, if God is God and has not changed, this still is upsetting him. So we shouldn't have been surprised when things come. And God said, now that I have your attention. God so much wanted to show his true nature, but Israel were not sons of God. Nobody knows a man as father except the children. I know the Lord as a father because he is my father. I'm his son. I have his DNA. I have the ability to do like he did. I have the ability to speak a thing because he told me that life and death is in the power of my tongue. I can use it to produce life. I can use it to produce death. And it's not all the time literal death. We use it on ourselves sometimes. I'm always broke. I don't never have any money. Things are rough. If it ain't one thing, it's another. So we curse ourselves. We're using our God-given ability against our own self. So when things don't turn out so hot, then we look at, well, why God is doing this to me? God said, I'm not doing it to you. I just did your word. Your word brought it. Your word, because you're a part of me, you have the ability that I have, you did it to yourself. Now, don't be sorry. All you got to do is speak life. Speak life. Speak life in a dead situation and watch that thing reverse. We have the power to reverse it. God wants us to know him in his true nature. He wants us to know him as a father. But without children, his true nature is not known. I have girls. It's something to see your daughters like you and you a man. They're not manly. I'm not saying that. But they have ways. And I recognize them. They have looks. You know how people can look at you in a certain way? I recognize them looking at me the way I look at them. When I was coming up, when I was younger, I used to then look at a person straight on a lot of times. I cut my eye at them. I just look at them from the side. Look at him like this. One time when I was living in Akron, I forgot and left my key in the apartment. And so April only lived around the block. So I called her to take me where Sister Fly worked to get her key so I'd get back in the house to get my key so I could go to work. So she came. She came right away. She didn't say nothing. She took me to where she worked, brought me back. And let me tell you what happened. The next day, I did the same thing. Same time, Same thing. I called her again. She was at the mall. She said, I'm at the mall, but as soon as I leave here, now it's snowing, it's in February. She said, I'll be there to get you. So she pulls up. She didn't say nothing. She cut her eye at me, just looked at me like this. She dropped, and finally she asked, Dad, are you all right? I said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. What about you? Yeah. We supposed to be like our Father. We're supposed to act like Him. Children have a way of laughing like their parents, don't they? Do you ever see yourself in your children? You might not like what you see. He said, no, those, they're daddy's children. Kind of reminded me of a young girl. She went to her father. She had learned in school that men, people, evolved from apes. So she went to her father. And her father told her that men didn't evolve from apes. Men were created in the image and the likeness of God. So she went to her mother. And her mother told her that men evolved from apes. So she was confused. So she went back to her father. And she said, Dad, Mom said that men came from apes. The dad said she was talking about her side of the family. I'm just telling you what the story was. But with our children, His true nature is not known. The veil covered His glory. His glory was merciful, forgiving, and patient. But one day Jesus died on the cross. Mark 15 tells us, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple rent from twain, from the top to the bottom. The first thing that He got rid of was the separation. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and nights, closed in with God. Only He was there. But in the New Testament, the veil had been rent, and Jesus spoke openly about His disciples for 40 days, according to Acts 1. He was not veiled like Moses was either. True sons of God would be born. And we read so much of God's mercy and love in the New Testament because the New Testament age is an age of the glory of God revealed. The glory of God revealed. We're in that age when the glory of God is revealed. So while we fretting and while we worrying, when the glory of God is being revealed in us, we are the glory of God in the earth realm. If someone wanted to see God, they should be able to look at us. I want to know His attributes. They ought to be able to look at you. God's true nature is merciful and forgiving. But if you look at God as a hard and cold God, then you are not intimate with Him because you don't know Him. Your gut feeling about Him is not peaceful, but fearing. You think He is quick to judge. And some preachers who rarely preach from the New Testament, but mostly preach from the Old Testament, would make God look hard and cruel. But when we look at the Old Testament, we see that God is constantly pointing toward the new. This is what I'm going to do. This is how come I love you so much. I love man. I made man different from anybody, any other creature. I made man after myself. We can't preach from a gut feeling. Can't preach because we think he's hard and cold. Because if we do that, then that just shows that we have no intimacy with him. Intimate. Becoming one, joined together. It should be that we should be able to see the Holy Ghost and not know where we stop or begin.
Come on now, that's good.
Amen. We're one. When you see me, you see God. Remember that song, When You See Me Coming, got him on my mind? Because that's who I am. That's who I'm like. When they crucified Jesus, the people did not know what they were doing. When none, in 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, when none of the prince of this world knew, for had they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It wasn't that they was aware of the redemptive plan. They would not have crucified him if they had known who he was. Not because they liked him, not because that he was a son of God. It was because that when he died, it would set men free. So the prince of this world wouldn't have done it. He wanted men to remain bound, but when God died, it set men free. That's why the enemy don't want you to know your potential in God, because he want to keep you bound. He want to keep you worried. He want to keep you confused. He want to keep you wondering what God is thinking. But I want you to know that what God thinks about you is that he loves you. He's kind and merciful to you. He hears your faintest cry and he answers you. They were deceived into thinking he was wrong. That is why Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Notice what he called God, Father. Father, forgive them, because he knew the will of the Father. He said, Father, he was a son. We're the sons of God now. He is his true nature or natural father. In the book of Luke chapter 11, it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil by nature, let me tell you something. When a child is born evil. Oh, it's mama's plunkin' pie, daddy's little man, but he's still evil. He has to be, at some point, born again. Born of a new nature, a new mannerism, a new spirit. It has to happen. So when we look here at the Word of God, he said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, then what about the one that's righteous? His gifts are far better, because he knows how to give better gifts. There is no better gift than eternal life. There is no better gift than a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no better gift to be able to sit down face to face and meditate on the Word of God. I'm here to tell you that when you shut down and you sit down and you meditate on the Word of God, God will talk back to you. He will settle your nerves. Last night, I was thumbing through the channels, wasn't nothing on. Everything about this virus on every channel, just about in whatever channel wasn't on, wasn't no sports on, they stopped the sports, nothing. So I turned it on Netflix. They had a movie on infection. Now, how crazy is that? So I decided to watch that. And it reminded me of everything that was going on now. I said, you know what? I had to come to myself. Now, you sitting up here watching this, you're getting all upset because in your mind you're comparing it to what's going on now. And it's just like it. Is this what we're going to? Why are you going to look at this and then go to bed? So I turned it off. So I just turned it off. But I am going to go back and watch it. We have to learn about the whole realm of reality that we never knew about. He is Father. If your earthly father was not a good father, you don't have to look at God as something you relate to other than a father in order to think of him as loving. He's a loving father. He's not like the potato couch father or the couch potato father. He's not like that. He's not like the father that never have time to hear you. Have you ever wanted to talk to your dad and he just don't have the time, or he dismisses you? He's not like that. He will listen and he will answer because he's a good, good father. He wants you to know what a true father is. Don't miss his true nature simply because your earthly father was a bad example. He is so full of love, and even when your heart condemns you, God is greater and know you and forgives you of your sins. In 1 John, it says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If your perception of God's nature is limited to what the Old Testament Hebrews knew, then you will be veiled from his true nature. You won't see it. You won't understand his true nature. You know, when you don't understand the true nature of God, you don't understand that you can rest in him. You can lean. You know what? The Israelites was in a fight. And the enemy, the Egyptians, it was 100,000 of them. And the king, Uzziah, remember what Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died? Well, Uzziah was the king then. And he says, Lord, we're not going to fret about this. We're going to rest in you. See, this is where we should be. This is where the church should be now. We should be resting in Jesus, knowing that everything is all right. You know, sometimes people call you crazy, because you ain't fretting and worrying like they want you to worry. My grandfather said, see, that's what you get for hanging around the old people when I was growing up. They always had sayings, and I was years learning what it really meant. He says, Deacon Monroe, Greg, there's no point of worrying until you know that you have something to worry about. In other words, don't worry ahead of time because you might not need to worry about it. That's what my grandfather said. He was a wise old man. I didn't realize how wise he was until I got older. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake to times past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us through his son Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Let me just tell you this. In my conclusion, we're joint heirs with God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What he has, we also have. Whatever the Father leave unto him, he leave it unto us as well. So I'm never broke. I'm never out. I'm never sick beyond measure. No, 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 no. There is nothing that happens on earth that heaven can't heal. Let me say that again. There is nothing that happens on earth that heaven can't heal. Remember the three Hebrew boys? They said, look, we ain't bowing down. The God that we serve, he is able to deliver us from your fiery furnace, from your hard times, your hard trials. He's able to deliver. And even if he don't, he's still able. Even if he don't do it, that don't mean he ain't able. That just means he chose not to do it, but he's still able. So even if God sent us through some hard times with this virus, we still know he's still able to deliver us. That is our hope. That is our faith. I love those little chats. Anybody have somebody in your life that you love to just chat with? Those chats are really good. Sometimes they're very refreshing and very enlightening and very helpful. But there's nothing like a chat with Jesus. There's nothing like a chat with Jesus. He goes beyond. And you know what? Even when you get through talking, you think you're through, 2 days later, he'll come and bring you back to the point that you asked him a question 2 days ago that you forgot what you asked, and he just revealed the answer right in your spirit, and you start the conversation all over again. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you that it's been oftentimes I had to talk with him. It was today I had to talk with him. Yeah. Because I don't know all the answers. But because I'm his son, I can go to my daddy. Say, Father, what should I do? You know what? And I'm going to stop. My time is up. But if you have a son and your son gets a driver's license and your son gets a car and your son call you dads, your son call you and say, Dad, I have a flat tire, and I don't know how to change. I don't know how to change the tire. Are you going to tell your son to figure it out for himself? No. Even the mamas will go help. Even if they don't know how to change it either. They'll say, we're going to figure it out together. But a father is going to say, son, raise the trunk. And son, if you look at the bottom of the trunk, you're going to see a cover. Remove the cover. He moves the cover. And what else? He said, now you look on the left side, and you're going to see a jack. You're going to describe the jack. You know, I liked it years ago when they had one kind of jack. You just put it down and slide it up under there and just jack the whole front end up. Anybody remember that? Clickety, 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 click. Say, son, now put it on the side because they got a new jack now. So they just lift up one side at a time. Son, put it on the side where the flat is and turn it. No clickety click. If it starts clicking, something wrong. Move back from the car. Because it's getting ready to come down. So turn it, raise it up, but not all the way up, because you got to get the lug nuts off. Look in there, you'll see a spare. It's smaller than the one that's on there. Son, it's called a donut. Now, you're going to take them step by step by step. That's what the Lord will do with us. He'll take us step by step by step till we get to the victory line. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. Be encouraged. Stand firm. Be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of waters that shall not be moved. Be encouraged, church. Have that talk with Jesus. Have that little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry, and I declare he will answer by and by. If you're here today, if you're here, I'm going to ask you to do something I don't normally ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Bow your head and close your eyes, all eyes closed. All eyes closed, all heads bow. If you're here today and you have a special request that you need from the Lord, I'm going to ask you to just put your hand up. Close your eyes, put your hand up. Close your eyes, keep your eyes closed. Head bow, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen, 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 amen. I see your hands. All right. You may look now. We're going to ask you, if you would, those that raise your hands, if you would just stand. Well, there's a whole lot more people standing than it was to raise their hand. We're going to ask you to bow your heads as we pray. Hallelujah. Give me some. Hallelujah. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Father, we come to you. Hear our cry, O Lord, and attend unto our needs. Father, you know the hearts of each and every one. You know what the needs are. Father, we ask, Lord, that you may minister even right now to their needs. Heal their land. Heal their souls. Heal their hearts in the name of Jesus. Father, if there's one that don't know you, Father, we pray, oh God, that you would deal with his heart and mind, that they would come to the altar. Lord, that we may lay hands and pray for the ones that don't know you. But Father, if they're sick in their bodies, we ask, Lord, that you may touch and heal. Lord, if they're disgusted in their mind or saddened, we ask, Lord, that you may encourage their hearts in the name of Jesus. Father, open their ears that they can hear of the good news. Open their eyes that they can see the things that you are doing. No matter what the world paints a sad and awful picture, but you paint hope. And for that, we give you praise. Now, Father, we commit them unto you for you to have your way. And we ask you, Lord, never forsake us and never leave them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, and we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name.